Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm here. we'll get into the whatever we call that football game we watched Saturday night. But other than that, doing good. Just wish that, things were a little bit different as far as Jack State football goes, but for those that didn't watch it or haven't seen, Eastern Michigan 37 and Jacksonville State 34 in double overtime. We'll get into that. We'll wrap up some of the conference scores and kind of at least do a quick preview on Southern Miss, although we'll have the big preview show here in a few days. Brooks, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing good. I'm still trying to process everything that happened last night, because my God, I haven't seen a Jack State team that is a tale of two sides of the ball like this team is. It's one of the offense has slowly progressed and got. I thought the offense played phenomenal last night. Tyler Huff is the guy. Going forward, there's no doubt. Kind of hate it for Logan Smothers for being here for a couple years, but you got to play with who gives you the best chance to win, and Tyler Huff certainly gave us the best chance to win last night. A lot more key receivers got involved, made some huge plays. Michael Petway,
Cam Vaughn.
We keep waiting on the running back room to show up, but golly, Tyler Huff is our quarter running back.
Yeah.
14 carries for 80 yards and should have had a touchdown towards the end of the game. Offense has made significant strides. Defense, however, is just keep shooting us in the foot. It looks like I thought we might have turned a little bit of a corner against Louisville, but just same thing that we saw in week one and two. Poor tackling. Defensive backs getting burned. No contact with running backs until about 3 yards past the line of scrimmage at least. Diving in at ankles. Just all over the place. I don't know what do you think, Drew?
I agree. First of all, as far as the offense goes, like you said, we worried about quarterback, game one, and at least a little bit after game two. But Huff with a really, really good night, 24 for 34, 311 yards and 2 touchdowns. No turnovers from Tyler Huff, which was great. And again, like you said, he ran the ball 14 times for 80 yards, so he was the offense, and he has clearly taken over as the guy. Trey Stewart ran the ball 17 times for 53 yards and a touchdown, and the only other running back to record a rush attempt was Anwar, and he only ran the ball one time for 6 yards, so didn't see Andrew Paul at all. He took some snaps, at least in overtime, down towards the goal line we saw him, but it was the Trey Stewart show for the entire game, basically. Beyond that, like you said, Cam Vaughn, 6 carries, 94 yards, or excuse me, 6 receptions for 94 yards. Petway caught the ball 5 times for 91, and then a slew of receivers with either 1 or 2 catches, but your normal names there, Sean Brown, PJ Wells, Jordan McCants, on down the list there. But the defense is, and especially in the first half, really, really struggled. I mean, this is an Eastern Michigan team who Jack State shut out last year. Now, I'm aware that there's so much turnover in college football nowadays that it's, you may not even be able to compare Eastern Michigan's offense to what they have this year. But it's still a team that you shut out last year at home, and they gave up 260 yards and 28 points in the first half. Now, second half defense played a little bit better for sure, just based on, they went to the locker room down 28-20 and only gave up 9 points all of the second half and overtime. But when you let a team score 28 in the first half, it really makes it difficult to win. I don't know what the issue is as far as Is it Luke Olsen? Some of the play calling? Is it turnover? As far as different names and different faces on defense, I think it's probably a mix of all three of those things. But something's got to change. I mean, the man coverage is – I get it. Well, maybe I don't get it. There's a reason that colleges run zone coverage 80% of the time, right? We don't have Sauce Gardner guarding receivers, unfortunately. And it's just man coverage over and over again. I mean, if you watched the game last night, you would have lost count if you tried to keep track of how many 8-yard slant patterns Eastern Michigan ran against man coverage for an 8-yard gain on second down. I mean, it was over and over and over again. Ron Singleton was the main culprit. I mean, they'd line him up in the slot, run a slant pattern for 6 yards, throw him the ball, and you know, it was over and over and over again we saw that. So at some point, I think you got to get out of man, try to go to a zone look, and see if that helps you. But it was – same thing against Coastal Carolina, right? The two long pass plays that Coastal had to win for touchdowns were just slant patterns against man coverage with no safety help over the top. Where if you get beat at the line of scrimmage, which you're going to get beat at the line of scrimmage half the time playing press man coverage, if you get beat running a slant pattern there with no safety help, it's a touchdown every time. I can throw a touchdown pass to that. Because it's one-on-one, you're 2 yards behind him, you have, if you hit the receiver in stride, he's going to catch the ball, turn up field, and no one's going to catch him. Now, we didn't see that from Eastern Michigan, but it was still 8-9 yards a pop on man coverage, and it just seems like that adjustment was not made at least until midway through the third quarter. So that's what the main issue is, I think. I think the offense looked really, really good. And I think the defense has got some soul searching to do and try to figure out what does this defense want to be, because what they have been the first three games is clearly not working. Now, maybe in the second half, what they found will translate for the rest of the year. That would be the hope, but we'll just we'll kind of have to see. I put this list together just to kind of put it in context. If anyone asks you what Florida State, Temple, UTEP, Kennesaw State, UMass, Kent State, and New Mexico have in common, they are all 0-3. You can also throw Troy in that list of teams that are 0-3 to start the year. Of all three of those teams, Florida State and Jack State are the only two teams that went to a bowl game last year. So not a list you want to be included in, but that is, like I said earlier, that's kind of the world we live in right now. The third down defense in the first half, and again, I hate to keep talking about it, but you know, Eastern Michigan, 5 out of 6 on third downs in the first half, 10 of 19 as a whole. That number needs to be better. Again, defense played better in the second half, where they held them to, 5 of 13. But that third down defense in the first half is what put them behind the 8-ball, and ultimately that's what cost them the game if you kind of exclude the overtime fiasco. Brooks, I'll let you kind of put your 2 cents in about overtime, and we'll try to talk through that as quick as possible. I know you guys have all seen it by this point. The game was over, second and goal from the 6-inch line. But, Brooks, you can kind of tell us what happened, and we'll talk about it pretty quick.
Yeah, by the way, that is your John Gruden film room segment for the week, breaking down the X's and O's. Just heartbreak. We had the game. The game was over. We got a break. Defense, for as bad as they were throughout the game, defense got some stops when they needed to. Going into the fourth quarter, holding them to field goals or forcing them to the punt before we got the ball back and we kicked our how far was Rippers' field goal? 55 yards?
It was 51 is what they called it.
51 yards. I know it was the second longest in school history. But that drive, they did what they had to do to, force a punt, and we got a chance to tie the game, and God bless Garrison Rippers' left leg. It was strides better than what it was last year.
He has made unbelievable improvement from year to year. Now, I know we didn't see a lot of him last year until in the New Orleans Bowl, but it almost seemed like that team they were scared to let him try field goals last year, at least in the bowl game, until they absolutely had to at the end, and it was a short chip shot to win the game. But he looks really good. I know he's missed twice. I know he missed last night in overtime. That did not cost us the game, by the way. But We'll get into that also. But he looks really good. He's at 2 from 50 and 51. That's pretty much his max right now. But as a redshirt freshman, that's a guy you should have for a while, hopefully, that can be a really solid option. And especially if you guys watched the broadcast last night, you had to listen to four quarters about how good Eastern Michigan's kicker was, and he missed that one at the end. That felt good. Those two guys, I don't know who those two guys calling the game were, and I don't talk bad about announcers. They were atrocious.
They were Eastern Michigan broadcasters. And I know, like, for our games, we do the same thing with Eli Gold, and I think Mickey Shaddix is still doing it too. But I know Eli, and those are our people. They're hired through Jack State, not ESPN. But still, it was just blatantly one-sided Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, and they talked about Eastern Michigan's kicker like he was the second coming of Adam Vinatieri for the better part of the entire game. Anyway, Brooks, you can keep telling us about overtime. We'll move on from that.
Like I said, defense, defense got us the stop that we needed them to get. We getting to the quarterback, we did pretty good on. We did pretty good with. We saw a stat that we had not had a sack all season, and we had four last night. Of course, they were all in one drive, but for the most part, we did a pretty good job, I thought, of disrupting Cole Snyder. Everything else, though, was, it is what it is, but it was what it was, but got the stop. Great running plays by Garrison Ripa, and I think we had some penalty help too, but because we had a targeting that really helped. And then we had to do was hand it off for Garrison Huffering up the middle, and snap goes over his head. To set up what was it, second or third and 22 from the goal line.
Yeah, I think it was like third and goal from the, like you said, the between the 20 and the 30. I don't remember, but you like you said, you four holding to three, touchdown wins the game there in the first overtime, and you throw a 5-6 yard pass over the middle, got a targeting call, which was suspect at best. We're talking about the referees; they were really bad too for both sides, not just for one side. They were bad for both, but they hit Eastern with a targeting call that was just not targeting, and that set us up first and goal from the 6 yard line. And like you said, Huff scrambled for a 5.5 yard gain and dove for the pylon. And he was short. I know I saw some things on Twitter saying if they would have slowed down and reviewed it, but he was definitely short. And Jackson did the right thing. If you're 99% positive he was short, what you do is you get up quick, you get to the line, you snap for the defense rating, you can run a quarterback power up the middle and win the game 85% of the time. You just can't snap it over the quarterback's head. And, killed the drive there. I mean, the game was over. It was won. I think if you look at ESPN's, win probability matrix, it was like 98% at the time of that play. And I guess that 2% is something like we saw happen, but that is how to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. I guess it's just throwing a game away blatantly, and we're not here to blame the center. It wasn't his fault that we got beat. There was a whole lot of things that happened up until that point that lost him the game. But when you battle back and you get yourself to a second and goal from the six inch line to win, it is really hard to figure out how you lost the game. So that's a wrap up for there. Unless Brooks, you have anything else about it?
Yeah, no. That wasn't necessarily what irked me. Yes, and the turnaround that the long snapper had the two field goals in overtime. Long snapper had issues too. I sent out a tweet saying the MVP of the game was the holder, because if he wasn't able to reach up and grab the kick to send it into overtime and the one to extend going to double overtime, then we wouldn't have even had a shot. But what really irked me, it, what when it came, what I think the game came down to, we could have won. I think we could have won it in regulation. Our second to last drive in regulation, we had fourth and one on about the 32, 33, somewhere in that area. And instead of sending out Ripa to attempt a field goal to tie it, we go for it on fourth and one. And I know Tyler Huff, I think that ended up being the play call. Tyler Huff, it was either that or a run to Trey Stewart one.
Yeah, it was a run to Trey Stewart on around the right side. Right. He was outside, a couple yards short.
Yeah, and it, but either way, we'd run the ball decent all night, and I understand that. You play to win the game. But still a lot of time left on the clock. We go for it on fourth and one instead of sending Rip out there to try and tie it. Well, defense ended up getting the stop, forcing them to punt on Eastern Michigan's last drive of regulation, and we ended up driving down the field and Ripa ties the game. But you send out Ripa that second to last drive, that last field goal kick now becomes a kick to win the game. So even if that second to last drive that we had the ball, we send out Ripa and he misses the kick, and it's the same as not going for it on fourth down and not getting it. So why not, give the kid a try? I mean, I understand at the time we didn't necessarily know that, in game anyways, that Ripa could make a 51-yard field goal. But again, it's the same. A missed field goal and run Trey Stewart to the outside and get blown up is the exact same thing. So that's what really kind of irked me. I don't understand why we didn't. And from closer range, too. The ball was on the 32. It would have been, what, a 45-yard field goal?
Usually had about 17 yards, around a 49-yarder. But
40, yeah, I can't do math.
Yeah, I think I disagree slightly. I understand your view for sure. But fourth and one, you've kind of done what you wanted to offensively throughout the game. I wasn't a huge fan of the play call itself. I think if you run Stewart or run Huff up the middle, he had a little better shot. But I somewhat agreed in the moment with going for it, because if you get that first down, you score a touchdown, you look back, and that's a great play call. And like you said, you play to win the game, and that's a long field goal for Ripa. But, yeah, looking back on it, that's certainly, if you kick a field goal there and make it, then you win the game regulation. So just all of it together is I don't think I've ever seen a football team lose a game quite like Jack State figured out how to lose last night, at least not a team I was pulling for. Now, you see crazy stuff happen all the time, Duke and Miami with all the laterals and from a few years ago. But anyway. All right, let's move on, try to wash that one off, and hopefully we'll get right against Southern Miss this week. Real quick, conference wrap-up here. Couple of things of note, but we'll kind of get through this as best we can. NC State beats Louisiana Tech 30-20 in a game that Grayson McCall was benched in. So take that for what you want it. Now that's good on Louisiana Tech for playing really well against NC State. That's a team that has struggled. It's a team that has struggled the last few years for La Tech, but they played with NC State for a while there. Liberty beats UTEP 28-10. And again, Liberty, another week where they just are not playing the brand of football you expected them to. I mean, last week they should have got beat by New Mexico State, and they came back and won. And this week they beat UTEP by 18. So those are two of the, lower-tier teams in the conference. Liberty has not really ran away from like we saw them do last year. So at least something to keep an eye on going forward, how strong Liberty is. I don't think they are quite as strong as what they were made out to be. I don't think that 12th playoff spot is going to beat Liberty's unless they really get their act together. Kennesaw got beat by San Jose State 31-10. West Kentucky beat Middle Tennessee State 49-21. Sam Houston hosted Hawaii, won 31-13. And the biggest surprise for me from the weekend, besides Jacksonville State, it's about debacle, but Florida International got beat by 18 FAU, and that game was a blowout. That was on an 18-point spread. that game was at one point, it was like 38-13 or 38-10 in favor of the Owls, who have already lost to Army this year. So FIU, a team we thought had made great strides, and again, that's a rivalry game, and that was on the road. Things can get weird, but FIU did not look very strong against Florida Atlantic. And last thing, Fresno beats New Mexico State 48-0. So there's your quick recap of the conference. Liberty is 2-0 in conference already. They've had two early conference games. Jackson does not start conference play until week six, after the bye week after Southern Miss. But that's your conference recap. And right now, I mean, Burks, you can kind of tell us what you think, but I think Western Kentucky seems to be the strongest team in the conference right now. I think Sam Houston might be second, and then Liberty, you know, second or third there. But I think it's Western Kentucky, Sam Houston, and if you want to catch one of those two teams, Liberty, if you want to catch one of those three teams, you got to make great strides as far as the Jacksonville State side's concerned.
Yeah, just kind of, you know, running over some of these scores again. Louisiana Tech should have won that game. Led the whole game, like you said, until Grayson McCall got benched, and you know, maybe that's the NC State there where we kind of expected to see with Grayson McCall. I thought he would have come in and, you know, they picked up right where they left off last year after a pretty decent season. But Grayson McCall just maybe because, you know, he had some injuries at Coastal, but not at all what I thought. I thought he would go to NC State and be leaps and bounds better than as good as he was at Coastal. But nonetheless, like I said, Louisiana Tech should have won the game. But Liberty, I guess Liberty's just – I don't think Liberty's as good as – I think Liberty is kind of what we expected Western Kentucky would be, good, not great, or maybe probably Western Kentucky. You know, I thought this was going to be another year of, you know, especially with Caden Salter returning. This was going to be their conference, and then you know, of course, Western Kentucky a close second, but then everybody else, and you know, it so far it Western the roles are reversed. How New Mexico State kept that game close, I don't know, just to turn around. And Fresno State's a solid team. Don't get me wrong, they're very good. They took Michigan to the wire, but you know, I thought, you know, maybe they were better than what we thought. And now New Mexico State is probably right at what you expected, or what you thought they were going to be, Drew. Horse our game, Kennesaw, maybe, you know, maybe we were a little in San Jose State's 3-0, but, you know, Kennesaw maybe might be a little bit more, we may have been a little too high on them. They seem to be, I don't know that they're the worst team in the country, but, you know, maybe we were just a little too high on them. Western Kentucky, solid, came in, took care of business against, Middle Tennessee, and good Lord, Middle Tennessee threw the ball all over. Nick Vadiato, however you pronounce his name?
Vadiato, I believe.
Vadiato, 24 for 31 for 456 yards and 3 touchdowns. Solid game from him, but well, it's looking like they don't have much of a defense or, I guess, a rushing attack. Sam Houston continues to be the team that you and I thought they would be, a lot better than what people had them rated or ranked as, or had them at in the preseason. Kind of on that Kennesaw level, and they, like I said, we've seen the Sam Houston movie too many times. We know from the FCS days what they are, and I think, you know, I think they're going to have a really good year this year. Continue to build off that Hawaii win, and then I already talked about New Mexico State and Florida International. Kind of a, I think they got a decent offense, but defense is just pitiful. Kind of like us, so.
Yeah, sounds familiar. Yeah, looking ahead, I know we talked about it before we came on air. You know, Jack State's 0-3. That's the world that we live in now. They could win six games this year. They could win six conference games this year. The defense is going to have to improve, and it needs to start against Southern Miss on Saturday. That's a team that they should beat, like Eastern Michigan. That's a team that they should have beaten. And I think if you start conference play 1-3, you take care of business against, you know, New Mexico State and, you know, Middle Tennessee, Florida International. Those are teams you should beat. And you can find yourself three more, whether that be maybe you go to Lynchburg and beat Liberty. Maybe you get West Kentucky on the road last game of the season. And, you know, maybe West Kentucky at that time has already clinched their spot in the conference championship game, and you know, they kind of sleepwalk and you surprise them, which that's so long away that the defense could be a lot better by that point. So don't quit watching. Don't quit pulling for them just yet. There's still a world where we're in the Bahamas on New Year's Day for the Bahamas Bowl, but it's going to have to start defensively. I think the offense is in a really good spot as a whole, like we said earlier. But I think that the first half defense is going to have to play better. And I think that this is so far this has been the Zach Alley appreciation stretch, to where
no kidding.
I don't think this team is 0-3 if he's still on staff. I don't know what Oklahoma's paying him, but if we all really pitch him, I bet we can get that contract. Because I think this team misses Zach Alley more than we thought we would. He clearly had that defense. You know, Chris Hardy, the same thing. You know, you lost a big piece of your front seven when he went to Ole Miss, but I think the loss of Zach Alley is what's hurting the most right now, because, you know, after the Coastal game, there was so much that was bad, we didn't know where to start. Now that the offense has found a leader in Tyler Huff and found their footing, I think it's pretty clear what the issue is, and that's definitely the defense. And again, I don't know if that's Tyler Olson. I don't know if it's play calling. I don't know if it's player personnel turnover. Like we said earlier, it's probably a mix of all three things, but they're going to have to, unless they want to finish 4-8 or 3-9, they're going to have to figure out a solution to that issue. Anyway.
Yeah. You know, I think we knew this defense wasn't going to be as good as it was last year. Lost Zach Alley to Oklahoma, lost Chris Hardy, which is probably our best defensive end since Darius Jackson. Jackson, actually, I know he is. But new group of defensive backs. I knew the defensive backfield was going to be, you know, was going to be a little bit of a struggle. But I didn't think that, you know, from the front seven, you know, these are veterans of our defense. Curly Young, Lita Hale, J-Rock Swain, Ricky Samuel, Kaiwan McCray, guys like that. I really thought, you know, would really, you know, would carry the defense. But it looks like they've just disappeared. They've lost all fun, and I think that's more than anything. It's just fundamentals. You know, like I said at the beginning, we're diving at ankles. We're not getting to the ball carrier until, you know, three four yards past the line of scrimmage. Defensive backs are just getting burned every play.
When you let Eastern Michigan run a draw play on 3rd and 21 for a first down, something isn't right with your defense. To be fair, he didn't break 9 tackles to get a first down. We almost didn't touch him. Now, he broke 1 or 2 at the very, very end to get the extra 4 or 5 yards to get him the first down. But, I mean, it was 3rd and 21. Eastern Michigan's trying to punt the ball back to you, running a draw play, didn't want to throw a pick in their own side of the field. And he wasn't touched until he was 14 or 15 yards past line of scrimmage, and that's play calling. Unless we, you know, the front seven did something that they weren't supposed to, that is play calling and you know, like you said, fundamental football. But the tackling certainly isn't there. the man-to-man coverage we said earlier, I think there's you got to make a change there. I'm fine with running man on, you know, third and six, third and seven, when you're trying to get after the quarterback and you're bringing some pressure. But, you know, first and 10, second and eight, second and nine, when you know they're going to throw the football, the man coverage is not working. That's easily recognizable from, you know, I watched the game on my couch. I could tell the man coverage wasn't working. So, yeah, like we said, defense, player personnel turnover, whatever it might be, something's got to change in the defense. And I do think the offense can carry this team to some wins, and they probably will at some point. But this team is at least 1-2 right now if the defense was even half as good as they were last year. So, anyway, just a really hard game to lose as far as you outplayed them in the second half for sure. The offense played good enough in the first half to win, and it just didn't come to fruition. But anyway, we'll try to move on. Like I said, we'll watch this one off. Look forward to Southern Miss on Saturday. You'll hear from us again Wednesday, I would assume, for the preview there. And that'll be homecoming and once again, home game. I don't know if we'll be favored to win. We'll have all that data for you on Wednesday, but it's certainly a game that this team is capable of winning and we think should win.
Yeah, at home, homecoming. We'll definitely, I think it being homecoming is really going to help us from a crowd standpoint. So, you know, we'll have all of that in our favor for sure, but it's in offense. You know, I was very stressed out about the offense after the Coastal game, but over the last 2 weeks, they've gained my confidence. I'm not so much worried about as long as the play calling stays, you know, stays what it has been the last two games. Then, you know, I'm not super stressed about the offense. And, you know, like you said, we may have to rely on them to win us some games. And we've seen that happen with some notable teams over the last few years. Stellar offenses, just bad defenses. You know, if Lincoln Riley would have fired Alex Grinch sooner, he'd have at least two national championships in his pocket, I think. You know, having guys like Caleb Williams, Kyler Murray, and of course Baker, and same with LSU last year. If they would have had a halfway decent defense, they won 10-11 games. Obviously, a different level of football than what's being played at Jacksonville State, but you know, none of the same principle. But this is just, you know, right now, this is just it's a putrid defense. This is all I can say. They made some strides in the second half against Eastern Michigan and got some stops when we needed them to. But if we don't clean up play calling, if we don't clean up fundamentals, you know, if we don't do something in the defensive backfield, like you said, that this could be a 3-9, 4-8 team. I think we're much better than that, and I think we'll still end up winning more than that. But it just, you know, it has to start this week. And the good thing too is we've still got conference play ahead of us. You know, we're still 0-0 in conference. We still have the big picture ahead of us. Right, getting the 12th seed in the playoffs is out of the question, but but you know, we still have everything ahead of us, you know, from a conference standpoint, and I know that's what Rich Rod's going to be primarily concerned about. You know, obviously, you know, we want to beat Eastern Michigan, we want to beat Southern Miss, but I promise you, Rich Rod and his staff are solely focused on conference play and having a bye week before we open up conference against Kennesaw. It's going to come at a crucial time. So,
I think if you look ahead, you've got Southern Miss, Kennesaw State, New Mexico State, and Middle Tennessee, your next four. Yeah. I think if this team wants to go play in a bowl game, challenge for, again, we're still in the mindset that this team can play for a conference championship game. I think you got to go to Liberty 4-3, right? You got to beat Southern Miss. You got to go to Kennesaw and win. This team should beat Mexico State by several touchdowns still. I'm still a firm believer in Mexico State being the worst team in college football. And then Middle Tennessee State, you get at home. So I think if you can run through those four, get to 4-3 to play Liberty, then I think this team sits almost where you expected them to. If you look at the first seven games, we kind of thought a 5-2 record might be where they stand. It's going to be 4-3 at the best, but those are still the next four games are four games that this team should win. I think if you can get to Lynchburg on Halloween 4-3, and then you're at least satisfied with where you are, considering the start that we've had. So that's the goal for right now. Try to reel off four in a row, and then go to Lynchburg and play your best football on Halloween, and see what happens.
Yep. For as crazy as it sounds to start off 0-3, everything's still in front of us.
Yeah.
Getting a bowl game, and you know, at the least getting a bowl game, but you know, still competing for a conference championship. But it starts this week. It has to start this week, and I think they're in.
Can't start conference play 0-4.
Mm-hmm. And I think what you know, they know that. So, it's going to be interesting to see how we respond for sure against what seems like a pretty stout Southern Miss team. And they got beat by Southern Miss yesterday, or South Florida yesterday, but they played pretty good. And I think South Florida is going to be a pretty solid football team. So, but yeah, like you said, we'll probably record again on say Wednesday or Thursday and get that out soon, and get that out well before the Southern Miss game. So, but other than that, I think that finally wraps up Eastern Michigan week. Drew, you got anything else?
No, if you made it this far, thanks for listening. We're 37 minutes into a 0-3 football team podcast. So if you listen to us this far, we really, really appreciate it. A ton of really good interaction on Twitter throughout the game. I know we're trying to tweet all the important things that happen, and a lot of you guys are responding to us, and we really appreciate that. We will be at the game on Saturday. Yep. And then we'll probably be at Kennesaw, so we should be in person at both of those. So we'll have pictures and stuff from both of those events for you guys to see, and we'll go from there. But once again, if you haven't followed us on Twitter yet, go throw us a follow over there, and we'll keep you updated on when podcasts are coming out and that kind of thing. And yeah, feel free to reach out and ask us questions or talk to us or tell us you don't like us very much. Either way, it's all welcomed. But beyond that, we appreciate you guys that are listening, and we'll see you on Wednesday for Southern Miss Preview.
See you, everybody.